That's powerful. Don't ever be afraid of silence. It's just, it's a womb that just creates a presence. And yeah, nothing can set you right quicker than just learning how to be still. Step back in your spirit. And yeah, and be okay with that. A lot of people aren't comfortable with silence. Yet, it's part of, it's spiritual practice. It's a powerful thing. Let me just go over a couple of things for you before we do the soundtrack thing. I want to touch on a few things. Number one, you know, we're talking about aligning yourself to the voice of God and the things that we can do to hear God. I told the story about the woman at the home group. Just being able to hear, you know, the Lord speak within your heart, within your inner man. Oftentimes it takes on the sound of your voice because you put that word in your heart, you know, and meditate on it, digest it, and that's what the Holy Spirit pulls up. You know, to interact and commune, as well as many other things. excuse me, so I said, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. You know, we said, you're wired. It's not something you have to strive at. It's the most natural thing. You're wired to hear the voice of God, that we might hear the voice of his lips. I love this. It's in Acts 22:14. I'll just quote it, but you need to see it if you've never seen it before. I've heard different ministers say, now that's just, those are qualifications for an apostle. But I beg to differ, because in Acts 22, it talks about how Paul's gone before, you know, one of the governor's leaders, you know, as did many times, and he's given his testimony. And he comes to the place where he's telling about how the man that came to, you know, the street to find him and pray over him and lay hands on him so he'd get his sight back. He said he gave him a prophetic, he didn't say prophetic word, but he said to me, that I might know the will of God, I might see the just one, that's Jesus, and I might hear the voice of his lips. Those three things. If that's just for apostles or the ascension gifts, we're all in trouble. And that's the word, you need to throw it out. Because in the New Testament, the whole New Testament really is based on the heart. Jesus talked about the heart. And he goes into talking about right in the first teaching and beginnings of his ministry, he's on the Sermon on the Mountain, and he's talking about, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I found over the years, so many people, almost in denominations, were trained away from believing they could see the Lord. You know, and I'm not being disrespectful, but I mean, most of them would say, well, bless God, Sister Dina, I can see the Lord in you. But I'm telling you, you can see the Lord. Now, don't try to get myopic and start thinking, well, is he going to come sit on my bed? Is he going to come in? You know, he shows himself and reveals himself in so many different ways. We don't want to dictate to him or limit him. You know, let him make himself known, because he knows which side of his face you need to see and learn about the most for whatever you're going through in your life. And with each of those encounters with him, coming to know him through his word, you know, through being on a boat and having a captain come up, you know, however he wants to reveal himself. I always tell people, and it's true, when I first came to the Lord, that just the first few weeks, I'd never heard about Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and all the redemptive names of God. But I said, you know what, God, for the first time, you are my Jehovah Fun. And I named him, and I, so to speak, in the spirit, piled a stone right there, and I met him as Jehovah Fun. You know, I've met him in so many different ways, just how he's revealed himself. So we can know him. We need to know the will of God for our life. Every believer needs to know the will of God for your life. And there's many places in Scripture where it talks about specific things. You know, it's to worship him, you know, and to honor him. But there's other things that can even get more detail about your personal life, your personal calling. We talked about it last night in Romans. It talks about how he had a purpose for every one of us that he thought and he assigned to us before the foundations of this world. And we are able not only to have those purposes and those dreams and visions come to pass for our life, you know, that's usually how we think, but I shifted my thinking over the years. Not only that, but I get to bring his dreams to pass for me. And so, you know, that kind of shifts how you approach destiny and the things that God's calling you to do in the kingdom, you know, is that it's not only about what you get to step into and love and experience, but it's also that you get to bring his dreams to pass, because he dreamed a dream for you. And he established a purpose for you. And that's what the prophetic does. The prophetic is able to see that treasure. to see those callings, to see that purpose and call it up. And when somebody hears that being articulated and affirmed about who they are, you stand different, you sit up different, you respond in life differently when you're stepping into your purpose. You know, it shifts everything. So we need to know the will of God, and we need to know that we can see him and experience him. You know, he said he made himself known. Another part of Acts, he said, once again, before another leader telling his same testimony, he said, he made himself known to me, and this is what he said. I have come to you this day, Jesus said to Paul, and made myself known to you that you might make me known to others. And this is why I feel it's so important for every believer to believe this is your inheritance. This is your right, is to have encounter with God, you know, personal, intimate encounter. That's why he created us, was for intimacy and for a family and for relationship. And but, you know, you can't take somebody somewhere you haven't been to before yourself. You can't reveal somebody to someone that you haven't known in that way first yourself. So to the degree that we know him, we can make him known. That's why I don't believe it's just for the ascension gifts. It's for every believer. He wants to make himself known. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, in a little while, you're not going to see me anymore. You know, I'm going away. The world's not going to see me, and you're not going to see me. And then a little bit longer, you will see me, but the world won't, because I go to the Father. He wants, when you look up those words, seeing, it means to see, to manifest, to make himself known. So I always love encouraging believers to say, you know, open your heart and know that he wants to make himself known to you in the most intimate way, but to also hear the voice of, you know, I close my eyes, to hear the voice of his lips. Oh my goodness, when you train yourself to know his voice, you're constrained. You know, the disciples, he constrained them to get into the boat and go to the other side. Something about when you hear his voice, you want to obey. It's a delight to obey and to do the things that would bring joy to your master and your lover, Jesus. You know, so we have divine rights to those things in this day, in this time that we're living in. So those three things, then another way you can hear is you will hear a voice behind you that says, this is the way, Isaiah 30, verse 21. And there's so many more scriptures. I'm just giving you one or two as we go. He wakens our ears in the morning here. Now, when I first got saved, and I begin to step into some of these things, I found scriptures that, of course, I never knew was there. And this was one of them. And it's in Isaiah 50, verse 4. And it says that he wakens our ears in the morning as disciples. And he teaches us, and he wakens our ears in the morning to hear as the learned. And that we would be able to hear a word in due season for those who are weary. I don't know what that says to you, but what it says to me is he loves to wake us up and give us our marching orders, so to speak. Give us, you know, whispers into us, things that we're going to cross paths with people and that will come up. You know, he wakens our ear in the morning to hear as the learned, as disciples, so that we can speak, so that we can speak words to them who are weary in due season. We've been on the receiving end of it. There's nothing like receiving a word in due season. You know, what is it, Emily, again? It's apples of gold and settings of silver. You know, there's nothing like it. Once you've tasted of that, you want to be able to be that for somebody else, you know? So I begin to pray that over myself. How many love praying the word? I do, because the word doesn't come back void. You know, my mother raised us girls, number one, to love the word. Oh, my girls are here. Oh, I'm so happy to see you. I just would run back there and hug you right now if I could, but I'll do it break. Oh, my long-lost daughters. Blah, blah, blah. So he wants to waken our ears that we hear and that we be able to, see, I don't miss a beat, do I? Just keep it going. But that we would be able to encounter God and have him speak and deposit things in our hearts so that we can give it out to others so that we can be that for somebody else. And those are pivotal moments in all of our lives. So pray that word. I begin to pray and put my name in there, and you know, I got other scriptures, and I said, thank you. I would go to bed, and my prayer would be, thank you, Father, that when I wake in the morning, you're going to wake me up, and you're going to give me words in due season so I can give them to others who are weary, and you're going to show me things and reveal things to me. And I thank you, my ears are fine-tuned. They're fine-tuned to hear your voice, and that, Father, there will be no mistake. You know, just talk to him. You know, what's prayer? It's just opening up your heart and talking to God, you know, and so begin to pray those things out because it won't return void. And it really will take you into new levels of hearing God. Fine-tuning our ability to hear. What are some of the ways we can do it? Number one, abide in his word. I've been saying that already. Scripture after scripture after scripture. John 8:31, John 14:15 through 26. So many scriptures in the word about, you know, abiding and being engrafted, you know, that we abide in him. There's such an art. It's a spiritual practice of learning how to abide. We were talking with someone the other night about it, and here's the deal. And this is a whole nother course in teaching, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway, because I find it's one of the most needed areas in the church, and it's this. You can create your own atmosphere and live in it. You do not have to be at the mercy of others who are up and down, happy, sad, glad, bad. You know, it's a good day, it's a bad day. You know, there's no good days, bad days. They're all just days of grace, you know, of learning how to step back in your spirit, submit to God if somebody's talking about you. You know, Jesus looked up to the Father when he didn't revile back, and he gave his reputation to him and said, "You've got this, Father. You're the judge. You protect me." It's learning how to live in the spirit, how to live from the inside out. And not be at the mercy of whether somebody else is happy, sad, or good or bad, or whatever the case might be. And I like to laugh, you know, I really do. I love laughing. I love being joyful. I love having the peace of God. We're called to live in a rest. Everything we do in the kingdom, we should move from a position of rest. Oh, here comes a teaching moment. And this is so important to prophetic people. Because because of your prophetic gift and as you're growing in it, I'm going to use just going and doing this sort of thing. But, you know, you can, when people realize that you have that, and you might not even in the marketplace, you really shouldn't call it a prophetic gift. You should just do it. And most people don't know what's happening until it's happened. And they have an encounter and they just love being around you because you're a positive person, you know, because you speak their heart and speak, you know, what's in their heart. And that's a great thing. But part of moving into that is being able to not have to have music, not have to have, you know, the right atmosphere. You live that, you create that in your own inner man, in your inner life, that you have a consistency where you, and it doesn't arrive overnight. This is a journey to get there. Okay, so don't beat yourself up. It's a process. But once you make the decision to begin to move towards that, that you shorten that time span in between when you have, you know, run-ins with people or different situations, and you learn how to step back in your spirit, forgive quickly, shorten that leash. You know, life's not worth it. It's better to love than to be right, and to be able to, you know, extend what Jesus said to do, to bless those who, you know, do bad to you, to pray for those who persecute you, and all of that. To really walk in that, it's the most liberating thing, and to be able to bring joy into a place. When you come into a room, what do people expect? Every one of us carries something. You know, if Emily comes in, I know she's going to bring positive, you know, positive heart and attitude and a can-do thing. And, you know, she's a focused woman. She loves to break through. She loves to go after things. So I know I'm going to be motivated and stimulated to go after things with her. You know, Wanda brings a nurturing mother heart. I know when I go into the same room with her, the presence is going to be there and the word is going to be there. She loves the word. And when I'm around Noel, I mean, oh my goodness, Pastor Noel, you know how to fire people up for this nation and for what God is getting ready to do. You inspire me. Every time you say, and I keep saying this to the girls, I said, the man has a gift of articulation. He can put something into, you know, a couple of sentences and pack more into those two sentences, you know, and that would sometimes take us, you know, 30 minutes to explain, but you have a gift. And so I know when I'm around you, my faith is going to rise. I know my faith level is going to rise when you come into the room, and that things are going to start popping in the atmosphere, and things are going to happen because you expect it, you believe for it. You see what I'm saying? You know, ask the Lord what you carry, and don't let anyone take that from you. Don't let anyone squelch it. Learn how to not be up and down. You know, it's toxic. Our brains are designed to really be positive. God designed our brains. That's why I said take every thought captive. And when we entertain the hamster wheel of the processes of, and you're going to be rejected in the prophetic, you're going to be misunderstood, so just go ahead and just, you know, just be resolved, you know, of how you're going to respond when that happens. Once you know your identity, who you are, you will respond differently. And you won't be up and down and in and out. You'll just be consistent and joyful and being able to redeem others and bring others into your atmosphere. You know, and that's, I talked about releasing the waters and setting water levels. I love setting atmospheres. I love that. So that's just along with it, because really, that's what prophetic people do. You know, we know how to abide. We know how to set atmospheres. We know how to access heaven and bring heaven on earth and bring the presence and bring, you know, joy and expectation and all those good things. So practice that. Practice it. One of the other ways we hear God is not only through abiding in his word, but also prayer. You know, prayer is so important. In fact, there's times if you're really going to be go after this with intentionality of a prophetic gift you want to develop into a consistent, you know, a lifestyle, one of the things that you have to learn how to do is just pray and make it a part of your prayer life. Because there's been times in grooming in the earlier years where the Lord would give me a word or show me something, and then I'd say, let's go to this, you know, on Sunday morning, because back then I was always thinking Sunday morning, you know. And the Lord said, no, Dina, I'd like you to hold that word. I want you to just pray over that. There's words that I've never released. You know, it was a training ground. Do you have to be the one that does it? Do you have to be the one that gets the accolades because you heard so clearly? You know, go check your heart. Always check your heart. And there's words that I held onto for 4 years before I was given permission to release it. Police yourself. Self, you know, govern yourself with the Holy Spirit. Ask him, is this for me? Is this for somebody else? Is it for now? Is it for on down the line? Do you want me to give them to him privately? Do you want it in front of people? You know, go through that process of asking the Holy Spirit questions. And then also waiting on God. And waiting on God, it's not a passivity. Waiting on God is, when you look that word up in Isaiah where it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that word means bind together by twisting. So it's kind of like, I always saw it like prayer and fasting and word and worship and, you know, just that you're ministering to him, you're waiting upon him by ministering to the Lord as you're waiting on God's response in certain things. Meditation is powerful. You know, renewing your mind, having communion, two-way conversation with God. And, you know, many people call it listening prayers and things of this sort. But here's my favorite. Tongues. I love the gift of tongues. How many find you pray, the older you get, the more you pray in tongues? I think that's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. He was texting, first of all. But he said, you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. You know, sometimes I think we forget that it's not only known tongues, and the enemy can understand the known tongues. He knows the languages of the earth. Right? But I believe when he fell, he lost the ability to know the heavenly languages. And those are the ones where we're not speaking to men, we're speaking to God. It's our two-way private conversation with the Father. And that we, when we pray in tongues, we're speaking to him. You can ask for more than one language. You can get to where you recognize which language you're using for what, you know, whether it's for warfare, whether it's for intercession. I have different languages that I've identified over the years and ones that I've asked him for. You know, being able to speak with motion. And, you know, not just flatlining. You know, you don't even talk like that to your worst enemy. Why would you talk like that to God? You know, when you pray in tongues, it's a language. And you can, and you see my hands, you think I was Italian, but being able to express things and go, Pore ma se vela, mbeture nakatande esse prequasata, jevrimo nimbrequasele, durincatele prequase, bejevrino seta. When my kids were little, I prayed that the promise that had been given to me, to my children, to all that were far off, even as many as believed on his name. And Keisha, she was an early reader. She read the little track of the five, you know, steps to being born again, and she accepted the Lord at 4. And then she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she was praying in tongues from a very young age. And, you know, the thing that fascinated me was to be able to get the kids comfortable. You know, I'd say, we can speak in a language to each other and no one else knows what it is. I go, you want to practice? They would go, yeah, Mom. So I'd go, I'll talk to you, then you talk back to me in tongues, okay? And we're talking to God, but people think we're talking to one another. And so we would, you know, Once I get started, I can't hardly stop, you know. But and then it says, when you pray in tongues, pray that you might, you know, you might interpret. In other words, pray in the Spirit, then pray with the understanding. You know, and you know then what God is saying. People say, I remember the first time I ever did this, I was like still in that mode. It was just for Sunday mornings, you know. Okay, Lord, I'll speak in tongues. You know, I'll give a word, you know, I give a tongue, an interpretation. And so one day I was coming home from Bible school and I was praying in tongues. Now, those who've never heard it, don't get uncomfortable. I'll interpret it for you in a minute just so you can be at peace. There's a tongue for the public, and then there's tongues that are just our prayer language, and that's okay to pray in that prayer language. I use it. It says it's been given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's been given to us. How do we know them? Well, you begin to put that bucket down in the well by praying in tongues. It says when you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries. That's how you pull the mysteries up. And as you get revelation knowledge, all these things begin to happen. But one day I was driving home from Bible school, and I was praying in tongues, and it was during a 3 or 4 day period where the manifest presence, the glory, just was resting. And I couldn't hardly go out in public. I was just weeping, but not as sad. It was just glory was on me for 3 days. I was going home in my car and praying in tongues, and I hear the voice of God say, "Dina, would you interpret that?" I actually said, it's true, I'm kind of ashamed of it now, but it's kind of funny. I actually said, "Oh no, Lord, I do that, you know, on a Sunday morning." And I felt, how many have learned how to hear God smile? Have you learned how to do that? Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I love teaching people this. When you hear that voice and you train yourself to hear the voice within, you hear the voice talking, so to speak, like this, however God's saying to you, but then all of a sudden God will say things, and can you hear me smile? You can hear God smile. And he smiles over me a lot. In fact, he does laugh, and I know when he's smiling. And I felt him smile that day as I was driving home. And he said, "Dina, if you're not willing to do it now, you have no business standing in front of a congregation and doing it." I was like, "Oh my goodness, yes, Lord, you're so right." He said, "Just do it." And so I'm driving along, I'm praying. I said, "Okay." And I remember the word to this day. That was like 30-something years ago. You know what it was? I prayed in tongues, and then I said, "Let's go." And I opened my mouth, and out came, "My people say, I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your presence." But what they don't understand is that I want to feel your presence. And until you come into me, Dina, and times when you will meet with me, I'm standing there waiting. But in those times when you come to me, I feel your presence, and I long for that. I would never think of that on my own. Another time, it had been a rough day. Some things had happened. A refrigerator broke down. I laid hands on it, prayed over it, and it started working. And the guy came to fix it, and he said, "It's the whatever it's called. It's irreversible. It was the motor that kept it running." He goes, "It's done. It's finished." And so he left, and I went, "I can't afford that." So I laid hands on the refrigerator and said, "Father, you know, you're the great mechanic. You can do all things, so fix my refrigerator." He did. I went and bought $200 worth of groceries. And when I came home with him, I was like, you know, they were saying, "Are you sure you should have done that, Dina?" And then it broke again. And I'm like, "Oh, great. Well, did I just totally miss it?" So I was praying. I said, "I'm just going to pray in tongues." And I said, "You build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit." I remember explaining to someone that I was with, I said, we were going to a meeting. I said, "I'm going to be praying in tongues. So if it's, you know, I just don't want you to feel uncomfortable." So they said, "Oh, it's okay." So I started praying. I said, I want to build myself up. And so I started praying, and you know, we're driving in the car, and this person says, "Why did you just say that?" I go, "Well, huh? What? Say what?" He goes, "Why did you just say that?" I said, "What did I say? I don't know what I said. I said, I'm praying in tongues." He said, "No, you know what you said. You said, 'Lord, make us salty.'" I said, "What?" I go, "I didn't say that." I said, and then all of a sudden I realized, like on the day of Pentecost, they heard them, you know, as they spoke in different languages, they heard the miracles on the ears too. They heard them speaking in their own language. And for me, I wanted to just build myself up on my most holy faith. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. No, he was interceding for everyone in that car. "Lord, make all of us salty." You know, I would never think to pray that. So tongues, I could, one of my favorite things is when you actually pray in a known tongue. Have you ever been in a service or in a situation where you saw somebody pray in a known language that they didn't know? It happened to me twice. Well, no, it's happened more than that. But once was Portuguese, and another time was Creole, Cajun. I was down in Cajun country, and I was doing a deliverance thing, and it was to a bunch of Cajuns. They're wild. They're fun people. And I said, you know what? I'm going to pray in the spirit for a few minutes before I start, addressing some things. So I'm praying in the spirit, and they start laughing, and people are going, whispering. And I've learned just keep going, So I pressed on. And then I was walking back and forth, just praying in the spirit. And then I said, okay, all right. And I said, I'm going to take authority. And I took authority over something. And after it was all done, I said, why were you guys laughing? And they go, because, sister, you were speaking Cajun. They said, you were speaking Creole, and we all speak it. We understand the language. I go, are you serious? They took me back, and they said, at that point when you were doing this, you were saying, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to take. Show me what to hit. Show me what to hit. And then you turned and you said, I'm going to hit. In English, you said, I'm going to hit fear first, and you went after fear. They said, we all heard it. You were saying in Cajun, what do I hit? What do I? So I'm just telling you, this stuff is real. It is real. And we do need to be aware that we're not just playing church. We are the church. These things are really happening. Sometimes we're just kind of skipping along in the Lord and doing our thing. But really, there is a supernatural level and realm as we're doing it that if you dare to believe, you can step into things. When I lived in South Africa as a missionary, I heard stories about how they would put Zulu Bibles on the missionaries' heads and pray over them. They'd just begin to speak fluent Zulu. Yeah, it never happened. But I never gave up on some other areas, and I have seen it when God needed it. So I could just speak about this all day long. But do you see? There's so many ways you can hear, and so many ways you can mind that voice of God within your life. And I'm going to just do, yep, we're going to end there. Desire to prophesy, have expectation, and then step out in faith. And don't be afraid of failure, because... some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen, the resurrection of the dead, healings, supernatural divine protection, all kinds of things came because I was willing to take a risk. But it's a calculated risk. I want to say it like that, if that makes sense. We've got the Word. We've got the Holy Spirit. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. All He looks for is a vessel. That's it. That will just dare to believe and loves Him and will step out. And then He just loves to show up and show off. He loves to show Himself mighty through those moments. And so that's my heart, is just to encourage people, go after it and really develop. There's more areas than just that, but that's just the basic of being able to hear, okay? So right now, how much time do I have? Good. So we're going to play some more fun prophetic activation. I always hesitate to use the word game because I feel like people will misinterpret what I'm saying. But... what I want you to do is, I want you to assume the position, get a comfortable position. This is for fun. It's only to stimulate and activate. And I really want to encourage people to allow your imagination that God gave you to let God reveal things to you. We can see things like, it's almost like a video playing out of scenes that God wants to show us. And He does it quite brilliantly. So I'm going to show you how this works. Hang on 1 second. Okay. I've got about 7 songs. We're not going to play them all the way through, but I'm going to play a portion of it, and then I'll stop, and we're going to see how God is revealing Himself and how you're seeing. It's all about remember. And if I have time, we might do it, but I'll just refer to it right now. In Jeremiah, He says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? You know when He asked him that? Amos, what do you see? Jeremiah says, well, I see a pot facing north. And he begins to describe it. He goes, you've seen well, because this is what I'm saying. I don't believe that was a vision. That was literally a pot. Because when they're seeing visions and things, they make that clear. God has done this with me, and He's done it with you, whether you realize it or not, some of you do, that He'll say, what do you see? Because He's getting ready to show you something that He wants to make known. And one of the ways that I find it's activated in my life is through music. So here we go. We're going to go with the first one. Sometimes it helps to close your eyes. Thank you. Okay, sorry, I'd like to fade out, but I don't have ability on this. But how many of you begin to feel certain emotions as you heard the music? Yeah, of course. How many of you begin to see maybe a scene or a picture opening up and unfolding? Okay, now, I don't have a long cord on this, so I want you to shout it out, okay? Because I want to point to something. I want you to hear from one another what you saw and what God was showing you. So let's just start right here. Yeah. Can everybody hear him? Okay. Oh, so it went from a biplane to a balloon to an eagle that was flying over like a snow-capped mountain. And you know, the best interpretation with that would be you are that eagle, you know, that God is taking up to the high places to soar, you know, over the snow-capped mountains to see from an eagle's point of view. I see, I could just take off on that one. But it doesn't matter what I say. What did God say to you through it? Did you see yourself as that eagle? Well, there you go. Okay, who else? I tell you what, stand up and turn around because I want to make sure everybody hears. Interesting. So just ask for the interpretation, you know. Well, it's okay. You might. But I've had people say, you know, Dean, I just have a few words, and I'm just about ready to give up, you know, on tongues. So you knew it was a new one. Well, then I just say he's taking you into a new thing. What does the color orange represent to you? His glory. See, I always ask because what it means to me might not be the same thing as what it means to somebody else. So however we all have our own dream language, you know, prophetic language, and to understand it, what is everything? One or two more, and we'll go to the next one. Yeah, Maura. Pull you away from that intimacy. And oh, this, see, how beautiful is this? Just off of an instrumental song. And anybody else just burning, you gotta share yours, okay? Jay, go on after yours. Go ahead. You don't know how spot on that is. You know, we're in a time, and it's not going to ever stop. We're in a time now of increased angelic interactive activity. And one of the strengths that they have is messengers and helping to explain and open up the things of God. And so think of not strange, you know, as you start seeing more in the angelic realm. Let's go to another one, okay? I noticed, well, I'm going to tell you, you nailed it. Out of Africa, when they were flying, and that's what you saw. Then Oh, man, I had my John Wayne movie, I mean movie, but music, and it was the cowboy theme song, but it's not downloaded. That was a good one. We'll pass over that. We'll go to another one. Let's do this one. Now, most of you will know what this one is, but what does it evoke for you? Man, I just got blasted. I can barely stand up. It's just, I love how God, I love how He does things. For me, you know, I didn't figure out things until in my 30s, as far as my ancestries, you know, my heritage goes. But I know that every time I would hear pipes, something just rose up in me, and I would just respond, and wherever I went in the world, you know, and I heard certain music, and only to find out, you know, later on, my roots coming from, I can trace it back to the 1500s, to Scotland, and then my great-great-great-grandfather came with his 7 sons, excuse me, to Ireland. And then from Ireland, he moved them over right before the Revolutionary War. And so, you know, I believe everybody has, every nation has a sound. Has a sound, and that you respond to that sound. Your DNA, your spiritual DNA responds to that sound. I'm a warrior at heart, so I hear that music, something just does. How many of you feel that? Yeah, because you're from here. But you know, just the pipes. Something about the pipes. I'll tell you a funny story. This is like living a prophetic life, so I'm going to make it real quick. I have always loved the pipes. So I prayed, and when I pastored, we planted a church, and I pastored in it, and I began to pray for our musicians and the music. Authority over that in Jesus' name. There's certain instruments that I know evoke certain things, like the violin. It's the heartstrings of God. Intimacy, you know, it takes you into that intimate beauty and place with God. And also, all those things. So I said, Lord, I want a piper. Send me a piper. And I made it very specific. I said, I want a spirit-filled piper who knows how to prophesy on his pipes. And I began to declare it. They would just laugh at me. The worship team just laugh at me. This is in Texas. So it was around Christmas time, and I used to deal in antiques. I've always loved treasure hunting at every level. And so I went to the place where I had my booth set up, and I walked in, and I was headed towards my booth, and I was walking down the aisles, and all of a sudden I came around the corner, and there walking towards me was a Scotsman with pipes and the full regalia, everything he was wearing. And all of a sudden I got... It was a good kind of fright. It was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is it. And I jumped behind some bookshelves. I was like, collect your thoughts. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? I knew this was it. I thought, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And it was in slow motion. He's coming. He's getting ready to come around the corner. He's got his pipes on. They had hired him to come do a special day, in this antique mall and play. And he came around this corner. I scared him half to death. I jumped out and I go, and I said, hello. And he goes, hello. I said the stupidest thing because I couldn't think what to say. I said, where do pipers hang out? I want to know where pipers hang out. He goes, you want to know where they hang out? And he was Scott. He was a Scotsman. He started speaking with a thick accent. He goes, you want to know where the pipers hang out? I go, yeah. I said, I really want to, I want to hire a piper and I want to get to know a piper. And he goes, I don't do it. This is what he said, to play at a wedding or a funeral. And I was like, no, but you, at a church. He goes, at a church. I said, I want to get to ask him questions so I can find out different things about the pipes and spiritual warfare. And I'm dropping all these. And he goes, spiritual warfare. He goes, and they would go ahead of the armies and the kings and the chronicles. I'm like, yes. And I got excited. I go, yes, yes, and the kings and the chronicles. And then he goes, I go, well, I always want to meet a piper that is spirit filled and knows how to prophesy on his pipes. I went there. I did it. And he goes, I have known to be prophetic for over 40 years. I said, you're the piper. You're my piper. And we became the best of friends. And he was an older man. He played for the king and, one of the high pipings. And I would bring him with me to go do things. When I would go teach. And Piper Bob, we would talk for hours. That was my affectionate name that I called him, Piper Bob, and everybody started calling him Piper Bob. But he was amazing in his knowledge. So don't put it past God. If you have a desire for a certain instrument, ask. You have not because you ask not. And these instruments, they usher in certain emotions, certain feelings, certain breakthrough things. I'll keep moving, but everybody needs a piper. I wanted to ask you, what did you see in this one that we just played? So this is good. This is a good teaching moment, too. I have a friend who I started in ministry with. He opened the door for us. His name is Kim Clement. And he was originally South African, but he lives in the States now. He's a very skilled psalmist and a prophet, full-blown prophet of the highest level. And Kim taught me so much because he would go into, Kim traveled with him, and he would go into 45-minute instrumentals, where he would play like a madman. And I say that in a spiritual way, it's like possessed by the Holy Spirit. And he would walk away from the piano and there'd be blood on it. I mean, he played with all of his might. He still does. And one thing I learned through Kim is the rest and the warfare. And music is written like that, where you will hear you'll hear disturbance, then you'll hear it pull back and there'll be rest. Then you'll hear disturbance and then rest. And it's written in a way that, it will always bring you through the activity and then it'll bring you to a rest, right? And that's life in the spirit. That's kingdom. That's the journey. That's the rhythm that we all live in. We go through things where we will, we will hit the enemy and hit the disturbance, but then it will always bring rest. Music interprets that. So think it not strange if you see things like that. I want to keep moving because we're going to be out of time, but because I know everybody's got a good one. But let's look at this. Oh, this is a good one. Let's do this one. It's not going. It was working a minute ago. Hang on 1 second. Maybe it's not loaded up. Sure, there's a disturbance, and now it's going into that rest place. Anybody? We only have time for maybe one. Somebody? Over here. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. This is so encouraging, you guys, because your imagination and that visual is intact. I mean, isn't it interesting? We can hear the same song, but everyone hears and sees different things, you know, and it's in detail off of something like that. Carol, did you have one? Okay, so what do you do with this? Well, I see many of you are journaling. Yay. Then from that, this is about Noel. You're seeing something about Pastor Noel. So you want to be able to say, well, how do you want me to pray into this? This is a man who's, you know, God's using to lead, you know, the multitudes. And he'll give you wisdom, you know, off of this is an exercise that helps you. We're going to come back from lunch, and we're going to do a soaking, you know. What in that soaking time, as you're listening to music, you can allow God to speak to you and give you pictures where he'll tell you stories, he'll tell you what he's calling you to, he'll tell you what he's doing, and to allow the music and your inner life and the Spirit of the Lord to work together to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. We've got a minute, and then once we're done, I'm going to pray over those who really feel like God's stimulating that gift of not only sight. See, this is working with two gates, the ear gate, sound, and then the eye gate, what you're seeing in your inner eye, in your inner spirit. Now that I figured out I needed to turn the sound up, I mean, let's go back to this one just real quick. A lot of very triumphal feelings, you know, in a lot of this music. I love how music will be bold, it will be triumphal, and then it'll bring you back into a place of green pastures, still waters. One more, and then we're done. Let's do this one. Oops, no one. It leads you. I mean, immediately you begin to feel, when you hear this. You get the idea. You know, I love, like I said, I love creating ambience. I love creating atmosphere. Music's one powerful way to do that. You know, if you want to inspire yourself to journal more, you know, get music that inspires you, that you can listen to and journal or read the word to. I love doing training with people to get them up reading and then put music behind them and have them watch how they're whole delivery changes when it's backed by music. When we come back, we'll be doing this where we're going to do a soaking and just seeing the different words the Lord wants to bring. So, you know, we're just going to phase right into that in this next session. Keep yourself, you know, in that place of expectation. We're going to be ministering more, and I want to reiterate this one more time. Probably Sunday night, I would imagine we're going to have a good time to really do a powerful anointing service and all kinds of things. But I do want to pray for sight and hearing now. I've asked the Lord, should I get them to come up and we lay hands on? And I just felt the Lord say, no, Dina, I just want to do it right where they're at. And we'll do more of that Sunday night. So stand up right now. If you say, Dina, I want to go to a new level, or I really feel that this is in me, and I'm feeling it activated and coming alive, you know, in such a real way for the first time. How many of you really were surprised at how much you see when yeah. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. There's a frontier that is begging to be explored and pioneered. It's that inner life of God the Spirit. And so he's here. Put your hands on your eyes. You know, it describes angelic beings in the throne room that, you know, have six wings and eyes in front and eyes in back, and, you know, they move with the Spirit of God. And those are angels. But I do believe that we have eyes within, because it says that he would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Eyes within and eyes without. We have these window eyes here, but we also have eyes within. So, Lord God, I'm gonna pray this way. So I'm going to teach as I pray. This is what and you'll get it. Lord God, I ask you now to begin to cleanse the film off of our windows. Let the window cleaner come and begin to clean them on the inside and outside. Take away that film that puts a glare in and distorts how we see things. I would ask that you would come with your laser-like precision, and you would begin to put the light to our eyes without and our eyes within, where there might be cataracts that have formed, milkiness and dimness that has hindered our clarity of sight. Once again, Holy One, you are the eye doctor, you are the window washer, and I ask you now to begin to wash away the sin, wash away any of the inferiority, insecurity, rejections that have filmed the eyes over. We just break that off right now. We thank you for the washing of the water of the Word. That, Lord, when eyes are open, they'll go outside and it's going to look technicolor. They're going to feel like they've been born again. I remember that feeling. But, Father God, I thank you for just your panoramic vision of technicolor. Just that you will enhance our ability to see. Lord God, for our ears, those ear gates, Lord God, we want to hear with clarity. We want to hear with precision. We want to hear. We know you said you wired us to hear you. I pray there will not be one person out of this weekend that will go away without hearing the voice of God for themselves. I establish that right now by the Spirit. By the Spirit. It's done. Lord God, I just thank you that it is with ease and just a rhythm that in you we live, in you we move, and in you we have our being. We can hear and we can see because of you. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for those represented here that just have a heightened sight. And their imagination has been so connected with you, and they were made to feel guilty for using their imagination. I want to break that off. I want to break that off. You need to be like children. Emily and I were talking earlier. Actually, I've taught this before, with creativity, where, you know, I draw the most anointed stick figures you have ever seen. And I draw them for an audience of one. You know, I write poetry for an audience of one. I do art, you know, that is for me, it's for my Father. Now, it might not be the most glorious picture in your sight, but my Father hangs it on his refrigerator, you know, because he said, Dina, if you do that for your kids and for your grandkids, you know, and you think that's the most gorgeous piece of artwork you've ever seen, what made you think I'm any different? We just need to start thinking differently. And so your imagination is to be able to draw landscapes with your words, with your heart, with your eyes, and to be able to take others into those places and for God to reveal himself to you. So this is a good thing. How many of you ever been shut down? You were told by your parents, stop daydreaming. Stop that. Stop daydreaming. You just sit around and you daydream, and they shut that down and squelch that as a child. And yet that was a seer in the developing stages, and it's never too late. And so I want you to raise your hands one more time. One more time, I want to see those that they were told by parents to shut down. Okay, Father, I send the word right now, according to, girls, come stand with me. According to your word, Lord God, we release the anointing, we release the blood of the Lamb, which has all redemptive power. You are able to redeem all things and to restore the cankerworm and the locust that have devoured this gift. But Father, it's not gone because it's without repentance and it's not revocable. So it's still there. So Father, I with the mining tools of heaven, I go into the very depths of their being. And Father, I begin to clear away the rubble in the realm of the spirit. We just clear it away. And Father, we call forth that seeing gift once again. That ability to see and dream and to have imagination that is God breathed by the Holy Spirit. Father, I call that up right now. I break off any shame. I break off any self-hatred of thinking that they were not spiritual, they were not good, and they associated it with being something bad. Father, I ask you to reverse that off of them right now in Jesus' name. You may put your hands down. How many of you were ever being used like that and you were trying to step out in it, and in a, you know, whatever church it was or whatever situation it was, you were embarrassed and you were shamed and you were humiliated because you tried and there was not the receiving of it with encouragement. Raise your hand. And you've said, Dina, I've wanted the perfect so bad in my life, and one time I did have it, but it just went, when I got shut down, I just never did return to it. There's more than once. Raise your hand one more time. Get those hands up. We want to break that off. And so I'm going to ask you to pray over that one.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we want these beautiful people to come into the full destiny of what you have for them. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over those lies, and we say, be removed and be cast into the sea, right along with sins and iniquities and transgressions that you've removed from us, Lord. And, Father, I pray that there would be a download of peace, a download of confidence, a download of authority in the name of Jesus, that they would no longer walk in the rejection, they would no longer walk in the lack of confidence and the insecurity, but Father, even now you would begin to flood them with the comfort of who you are. That Lord, their lives, their minds, their soul, their spirit would come into alignment with heaven. That Father, they would have a new way of thinking. That Lord, instead of going back to the past and thinking I was rejected there, that they would see you taking that rejection from them, Lord. And Father, that they would see that you lead them, you guide them, you clothe them, you crown them, and they would have confidence to step out.
Thank you. I heard that scripture as you were praying, that you are accepted in the beloved. You know, you're accepted. God be for you, who can be against you? One more. Those who have pretty much talk themselves out of even stepping out because they're such perfectionists that they can't even get the first step out of the gate because they're afraid they're not going to do it well enough. Anybody? Em? She carries an anointing to break that off. And, I hope what you're hearing over and over again from myself, from Wanda, from Emily, and Pastor Noel, all of us, is that you don't have to come to this a whole thing with perfection. We don't want that. We want the humanity married with the spirit, and that's torment. That's fear. It's torment, and we don't want any part of that. We want you to be freed up so you can be like a little child, and you can just come to God with abandon and learn how to trust once again. Not so much God, although that sometimes is an issue, but leadership. So let's do this. As a leader, I would like to ask you to forgive us the times that we've trampled you and not known it, the times we were trying to navigate a service and we shut you down and you were crushed, the times that you were trying to step out and articulate but you weren't comfortable and you'd never really spoken in front of people and you stumbled and you stuttered and you didn't get out right and you were embarrassed. Would you forgive us for maybe not being sensitive in those moments, or maybe being afraid ourselves and not knowing how to facilitate this thing called the prophetic? As a leader, I'm asking you to forgive us. If that's you, just under your breath, release it. Just release it. Let me be that person, an identification that represents what whoever that was and whoever did that to you. And then just turn loose once and for all. So just say in your breath, I forgive. I release. And you might even want to say that person's name that hurt you. And then just like Wanda prayed, start from a new place. Emily, would you pray over that perfectionism?
Jesus, thank you that we are perfect in your eyes, Lord, that we are accepted into your heart in every place that we fear is not worthy. Father, we take authority over the spirit of fear and we break it off. The root of perfectionism is fear, and we break that right now, and we open our hands and we open our hearts to welcome your washing of your love and the identity of who we are rooted in you as your sons and your daughters. Father, we stand before you whole without having to work for any of it. There is nothing that we have to do to be further loved, to be more deeply seen, to be more deeply accepted. We cannot get any further into you than we are. There is nothing that we need to do, Lord, and we accept that with grateful hearts, Father. Thank you that we are fully in you and you are fully in us, regardless of anything that we can do or say, right or wrong. You cover us completely, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So we seal you with a kiss from God this afternoon before you go to lunch. And I want to say this. I'm going to keep reiterating this. I started to say it a minute ago and I didn't finish. But, we're just flowing with the Holy Spirit and seeing what he wants to take care of. He's taking care of business. Now, tonight, I'm just going to let you know we're going to be doing a lot of prophetic, personal words. And so, don't think just because we maybe didn't do any personal words in this last session that we're not going to do we are. But it's not just about us doing the words. It's about getting you up and doing them as well. So it's going to be both and. And it's going to be good. And you're going to even learn some new ways to maybe deliver a word and to give a word. But we're going to just keep going along the lines we have been. But tonight's going to shift just a wee bit. And we're going to start doing more personal words for people. So don't miss tonight. But don't miss this next session either, because every session is a layering. God is building something in you. Whether you understand it completely, there is a layering that's taking place. And you don't want to miss a bit of it.
Well done. Guys, just before you go, so those who have booked in for lunch, please go downstairs. I'm sure they're ready for you to receive.